Okay. Well, I guess we're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Today's date is April 7th, 2024. Hour two of the show. We were just on the phone with Lynn, and she was talking about, well, Chance's birthday today. So, everybody, let's put your hands together for Chance and say hello or whatever we do. Maybe there's a better song to sing. You know a better song, Alan?
Not right now, Steve, but I would like to tell people just a little bit of what's going on in my reality.
All right.
Why I'm not so upbeat today. I had something happen with my mother. You know, my mother has been there my whole life, and I'm the one who's been going in and staying with her. You know, she's in a nursing home right now, okay? Finally, because it was more than I could do. I needed more than 1 hour of sleep a night. You know, after 2 or 3 days, you know, you yourself start to go crazy. My brothers, they live out in the digital fantasy world. They're not here with it. I've been dealing with my mother, you know, in pain. You know, laying there going, oh, God, it hurts. Oh, God, make it stop. Oh, please make it stop. You know, on the phone with hospice saying, well, give her more morphine. Give her another nitroglycerin pill. Give her more morphine, you know, until it stops. I'm like, well, how much of this can I give her before I kill her, you know? And she's like, oh, well, this is like baby morphine. You can keep feeding it to her. You know, after, you know, giving her a couple of milliliters of liquid morphine, you know, finally got her to where she could sleep. And then, you know, we had to go into a nursing home. One of my brothers comes, picks her up, takes her on a joyride out to the country, sits her down out there. You know, oh, well, the grandkids and everything, and I'm sure they put it on Facebook and TikTok and everything to show how socially responsible they are. They've got their grandmother out there and everything. And so I go to see her afterwards, before closing time, and I'm like, well, how you doing, Mom? She said, oh, God, I'm hurting again. I'm like, what? And I said, well, what happened? She said, oh, well, they came and picked me up and took me out to the country. And I was like, what? So I called my brother up and raked his ass over the coals. I said, you haven't been the one living here with mother screaming in pain, saying, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop. You know, they come out and take her for a goddamn joyride out into the country, you know, some little lark, you know, and then bring her back. And then I'm the one living here that has to deal with the consequences of this stupidity that they did. And guess what? I'm the middle child. My younger and older brother have basically told me that I'm basically banned from seeing my mother. So you know what? F the world. F the world. You know, I'm you know, I love my mother, but let them deal with the real consequences. F you, my brothers. F you.
All right.
That's my life. I don't want anyone's pity. I'm not the only one going through this, but I don't know what to say, Steve. I can't be upbeat. I'm so disgusted with what this world has turned into. I'm at my wit's end, man. I really am. Hmm.
I hear you, man. I don't know. I don't know. Don't know whether to change gears, go to the phones, or, you know, I really don't have anything to say to that at this point.
I just wanted to explain why I'm not as upbeat and, you know, and kind of happy as I you know, normally try to be, even though I know we live in a nightmare. You know, when you're living the nightmare, and it's just, I don't want anyone's pity. I keep me in your thoughts. I will say that. I won't be sacrilegious and say, pray for me. You religious people out there, but, you know, I will say, you know, keep me in your thoughts. Y'all are in my thoughts all the time. You know, I know that I'm not the only one going through any of this nightmarish stuff, but that's my life, and that's why I'm not just my kind of happily bubbly person that I normally try to be.
Chance in West Virginia, welcome to the show. Happy birthday.
Hey, guys, thank you. I got a kick out of Lynn's call. That was really something else. I'd never thought I'd live long enough to get senior citizen discounts, to be honest with you. Years ago, I would have got a little embarrassed, but some strange metamorphosis takes place when you pass the age of 60. You no longer get embarrassed or care about what anybody thinks. And Alan, you got to learn to laugh and make fun of all the craziness. That's how you keep your sanity, my friend. You hear me?
I try that all the time, my friend.
Well, you got to. That's the only way, especially nowadays. Things are so bizarre. My God, they'll take you away, man, with a butterfly net. Oh, and you mentioned a better song. Steve, you know what a better song would be? A better song would be What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, I like that.
I
still kind of like the song that when I had that program for a couple of months. I still kind of like my song. I'm an analog man in a digital world.
Oh,
some 10-year-old smartass has to tell me what to do.
You know? Or Life is Illusion. Life is an Illusion by Joe Walsh. That's another
good
song.
There you go. Yeah, another good song.
Yeah. Oh, well, I just tuned in a half hour ago, and I heard Lynn's call. I'm going to get you back, Lynn. I'm only kidding.
Well, happy birthday,
and,
Chance. I haven't said that yet. Happy
prior
birthday.
To that, yeah. I guess. And, Mike. Was it Mike, I think? Yeah. And, that was a pleasant surprise. That was wow. I can't believe it. Like I said, when you get older, you don't get embarrassed no more. Did you notice that? You don't realize that yet, Steve, because you're, I don't know how old you are.
I'm 12.
You're 12?
Yeah. I'm just
Boy, I remember 12. I think the yo-yos came into play then. That was a big fad. The Dunkin' yo-yos, remember?
Oh, I loved yo-yos. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was a fad back then. Click Clacks, they had the Click Clacks.
Yeah, Chance. Click Clacks or Connect Knocks, whatever they called them. And you remember, man, they were fun. It's like you had to have coordination, and you could get it going faster and faster. Those balls started shattering and like putting kids' eyes out, so they had to stop making them.
Yeah, and putting baseball cards on the spokes of your bicycle tires.
Oh yeah.
The grass roof.
Wow.
Guess who?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, boy, it brings back memories.
Click Clacks, wow! Though for those of those that don't know what those were, it was the stupid days, the wonderful stupid days. We had these polyurethane balls. They were just balls, and they had a string attached to them. And you'd sit there and you'd dangle them right at the balance point on the string, and you go bap 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 bap, and they just clicked together. And you could do it faster and faster, and it would. Oh, wow, oh, man!
You know,
But Steve, back
simple.
Then, what they taught Steve was hand to eye coordination, because you had to be coordinated to be able to go click 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 click, click and keep going faster and faster. It taught you hand to eye coordination. It taught you something about body function and.
What did
and
we just, use that for? Right. What did we use that hand-eye coordination for? Because, back in the day, Chance, Alan, they say baseball was
batting.
To create World War II soldiers, World War I soldiers, being able to throw hand grenades, right? That kind of coordination. Bats. I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah, I remember trading baseball cards on the playground. Here's another thing I remember. I remember when you went to school, somebody else mentioned this too, but it was true. There was only maybe one or two chubby kids in the whole school back then. Now, I'm not making fun of people who are overweight. Don't get me wrong. It's just that was a fact. And over 90% of the kids had mothers and fathers, both mothers and fathers. I mean, how times have changed. And I could probably go...
Yeah,
I could probably go on and on with
Chance. Well, the food changed a lot back then, Chance.
Go ahead, back in the day when there was a short bus, and the short bus went and picked up like two or three children. One of them was in a wheelchair, One of them had Down syndrome or something like that. But, you know, there was only like three children the short bus picked up. Now the short bus is for the smart children.
And here's another thing I remember, guys. Well, I don't know. I come from a large city originally, born and raised up in the Northeast. I remember submarine shops, you know, the submarine sandwich, mom and pops that piled on the meat. I mean, you got great subs. This is before the time of franchises, and they brought in all the crap food, you know? Franchises. You had mom and pop submarine shops, mom and pop pops, pizzerias. Everything was so much better than it was.
Right.
See, but I don't let it get me down. Alan, you can't let things get you down, man.
I know it's hard, but...
You got to learn how to make fun of it, man. Alan, you got to learn how to make fun of it and laugh at it. It's the only way you're going to keep your sanity, believe me, because, you know, when I compare this age, I'm 64 now, man. I never thought I'd reach this age. Never, to be honest with you. And I'm the only one alive in my family left. That's another mind blower, you know. But, you know, you have to... You got to think on those good times. See, when you start getting depressed about what's going on, because everything's made to make you depressed and be fearful, Alan. It's all designed that way.
Yep.
It's everything's designed to make you feel that way. It's to it's like a mind control thing that they're doing on the people, and you cannot let it happen. When you realize what they're doing, you know. It's hard, but you got to. And I hear you talk that way, Alan, and I, you know, I can feel what you mean, but it's just not the way to handle it, really. You're doing yourself more harm, believe me. You know?
Yeah.
And then you're going to draw people to you. You're going to draw people to you that are going to do the same thing, and then you're going to feel worse. Now, I'm saying this, Alan, only to help you out, that's all. Don't. Take offense to it now. You're going to draw those
people. In my life, I try not to draw people to me. I live in the animal world much easier than I do in the people world. Does that sound negative?
No, because I love animals. I'm not one of those animal nuts, you know what I mean? But I love animals, man. I don't know what I'd do without my animals. So I know what you mean. What was I gonna say?
I've got deer that will walk into my house. Looked out yesterday. There's a turkey right outside my front door. I feel more in common with them than I do with any human almost that I come into contact with anymore.
I get an occasional wild turkey on my property every now and then. I'll get a black bear occasionally. You know, outside of your normal possums, skunks, raccoons, you know that. As a matter of fact, I had to put a raccoon down. I had a raccoon on my property a couple of weeks ago. It was just laying on the ground, twitching. Couldn't move, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was twitching its limbs, rolling around, but there was no foam coming out of its mouth. So I know it wasn't rabid, but I'm figuring it probably had distemper, or maybe it was bitten by a copperhead, you know? And I had to put it down because there was nothing that can be done. And if I left it there, it would have died, and then tons of vultures would have came and on my property. You know what I mean?
Or my friend, if you're trying to raise chickens, every coon, possum, ringtail, anything else that comes along, they all want that free chicken dinner because it's pretty easy. So, yeah, you know, but that's just depending on what you have to do. Sometimes life is cruel. If you're trying to raise chickens, you got to kill every coon that comes around because they will eat every. They won't just eat your chickens; they'll go in there and kill every one of them and
take
maybe
a bite
out
of each
of
one. Yeah,
and leave the carcasses there, but they'll go in and go on a killing spree. And if you don't kill every coon you see around your chicken house, you ain't going to have chickens.
Well, this one I had to put down because, like I said, he was rolling around in his back; he couldn't move at all.
I've seen them before. I've done that before. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm figuring it wasn't, I don't think it was rabies because he wasn't violent and he wasn't foaming, you know? So I'm figuring maybe distemper or or a snake bit him and the poison got in his system. And he couldn't, somebody told me he could have been hit by a car, but if he got hit by a car, he wouldn't have made it up my mountain, you see? So I'm surrounded by woods and I'm up on a mountain, so he couldn't have got hit by a car and make it up here. There had to be something neurological, you know? And it hurt like hell.
And Chance, you know, that's just nature, Chance, you know? It's not always kind.
I looked in his eyes and he was, but like I said, it would have been more cruel to leave him there and then have God here. Anything dies, forget it. The vultures swoop down, you have 100 vultures, you know, pick it apart in no time. So I figured, oh, well, I hate to do this, but it had to be done. It had to be done. Before my other
Chance, that's kind of like I was out at my uncle's one time, and his place out there, you know, it's the other side of town from here, and I was running around out there, saw this deer. She could get up and she could run, but then she couldn't walk. And I'm like, well, what the hell is with this? So it's like, I go over and I look, and both of her front legs had been shot off at the knee.
Oh.
And this old gal was still alive and still going. And I put her down, and my uncle came out and opened her up, and she had little fawns inside of her. You know, this is a sad thing, but this is nature. Some freaking moron, you know, hunter out there. It wasn't a hunter; it was a shooter. Shot both of her front legs off. You know.
But the
old gal was still going, and I put her down. That was a mercy killing.
You know? Yeah. Well, same thing with this raccoon. I just couldn't. It hurt like hell too, but I had to, you know. And since it's on my property, nobody else is going to do it. You know, I'm going to have to be the one to do it. You know. I have to put it down and get rid of it, and it's bothering me. But like I said, you know, when you live in the rural life, you got to do what you. It's much different than in the city life. There's nobody to call. You have to handle it yourself. You know.
Yeah. It's a good thing. I'm. You know, most people in today's world would have dialed 911, Chance. You know, instead of you just taking care of it yourself. You know, you had to be a small G God. And not let that animal suffer and go out and put it down.
Well,
you have to be a small G God and show some compassion.
You can't let the animal suffer. No.
No.
No, I can't see that. And besides, and I figured, well, after I put him down, you know, I put bleach and I put rubbing alcohol on the spot where he died, you know, in case he had anything. So it doesn't transmit to the other wildlife or to my animals, you know.
Right.
Oh, well, I just wanted to call, and that was really nice. Like I said, years ago, I would have got embarrassed, but like I told you, when after the age of 60, you don't get embarrassed by anything anymore. You'll find out, Steve.
Okay.
You get a kick.
Well, I hope I will.
Yeah, I never thought I'd reach this age, but I'm here. Well, thanks
there
again,
you are.
Guys. And Alan, lighten up a little bit. Try to laugh more and joke more.
Hey, sirrah, sirrah, my friend.
Okay, buddy. All have right. A good day, guys.
Okay, thanks, Chance. Appreciate the call. You know, before the end of the hour, we were talking a little bit about that crazy dang solar event, right? The eclipse, and the crazies are out, and the crazies aren't out. See, that's the thing. You know, Mike in Kentucky was waving the flag of weather doom for Fredericksburg, and it's not that kind of doom. It's tourist doom, right? The weather forecast folks have been out there going, oh yeah, there goes your eclipse. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be cloudy. Don't go to Texas, right? It's actually don't go to South Texas. We're kind of not necessarily in South Texas. We're in the middle of Texas, sort of, I guess. But we'll see. Yesterday I had this one. I'm home the entire time. I've got a hotel that I got to go fix some Wi-Fi crap in a little bit as soon as I'm off this show. But I'm kind of on call this whole weekend. But I'm not planning on doing any work, right? Because I wanted to have fun. They're anticipating 100,000 people coming to our little town of 20,000 folks. 15,000, 40,000 in the county, and who knows what how many people live here. But they're saying 100,000 people are coming to town, but not anymore because they've gotten on the, you know, the TV and said, it's going to be awful, don't go, blah, blah, blah. So yesterday, and I don't know if you heard about this, Alan, but yesterday during the evening, Fredericksburg looked like a ghost town. You could drive on all the streets and there wasn't any traffic. And because all the locals have already stocked up on food and water because they didn't want to go into town while there's 100,000 tourists coming into town to look up in the sky. But they weren't there. And so nobody was there. And people were out on all their little social media things that Alan never goes on to. And I'm don't go on to them either, but people were telling me about it, right? And they're sitting there going, oh my, the businesses are like going, oh crap, we stocked up on food and there ain't anybody coming through that door. It's like,
not food, Steve. Not food, Steve. I've read, they even had this in the paper of some of these restaurant owners who are sleeping on their couches now because they bought extra. They bought like 300 extra cases of beer for the eclipse, and so they can't even sleep in their bedrooms because their bedroom's full of beer now. So they're having to sleep on the couch, and they're just hoping that all this beer will be gone, and everyone will be drunk looking at the totality of nothing and
the totality
just,
of it all.
I don't know, Steve. It's just
it's fascinating. I had this one person I know, you know, hit me up and go, wouldn't it be funny if nobody came and all these businesses lost all that money because of, you know, and I'm like going, no, I don't think it really would be funny, you know, because that will have an impact on everything. And I don't really wish these private individuals, Alan, they gambled, right? This was a big gamble. For years, people have been trying to get a good deal and call in to get a $2.99 room, and the hotel owners want to charge $600 for a night or something like that because it's a special day. Right? Well, that's the way hotels work. I'm sorry. You know, but all of a sudden, nobody makes any money, so yeah. So who's going to pay for nobody making any money? You know, it always evens out in the end. And it's not like they were the corporations or anything. A lot of these businesses, greedy they may be, right, are not these big old corporations. And maybe I'm wrong, you know, because I constantly float around, at least this last year, $30,000 a month for rent seems a little high for me.
Yeah, Steve. All these small businesses around here, they have to be greedy because what's the greediest part of everything? What causes them to be greedy? It's because their property taxes keep going up. I can remember hearing one business owner on Main Street saying,
why?
Yeah, 5 years ago, our property taxes were $18,000. Now they're like $78,000 a year.
Yeah. And I get it. And you know, Lynn was talking about the power people, and I still look at these companies, right? The power company, it's a co-op, right? What does the co-op mean? It works for us, right? Is that true? Or the city power workers?
And there
works
there
for us,
minutes,
right?
There will be 5 minutes of totality, so expect power outages because everyone will be turning their lights on at the same time. For 5 minutes and expect power outages. Oh my God, Armageddon is coming.
No. Oh God, yeah, that's another tear. You know, for sure, it's true though. But you know, why is it my power company has such a modern fleet, and why do they all have, you know, 4-6 weeks worth of vacation times. They have benefits, and they have this, and they have
that. They love
that.
Us, Steve. They love us.
Well, they love us. They love our money.
Us.
But they don't. They take care of us like they're taking care of Lynn out in Maryland, right? You know, giving her an appointment, not showing up for the appointment, you know, not willing to move aboard, right? They're not out there to help. It sucks.
Well, thank God, Steve, I'm part of an electric cooperative, which means that I have voting power. Yeah, they care about me. I can vote for my board of directors. Yeah, right. Like, I believe that. Cock-a-doodie.
Yeah. Hey, let's go to Kansas. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Last night on Ingrid's program, she played an interview Greg Reese did with Todd Callender. Did either of you hear that?
No.
It's pretty wild.
What? Tell us about it.
Well, he was Todd Callender is a lawyer, and he's really been active on this shot crap with the clot shot.
Okay.
And dealing with the military too, and you'll just have to listen to it because it was pretty wild. But he pretty much said what I've been thinking is that they're creating a lot of these diseases as a frequency component now, and for me it kind of goes along with what Rife was doing. He was, you know, curing some cancers, particularly is what they wrote about him, with frequency. But what you can, you know, do with frequency goes on both sides, good and bad, is what I'm
thinking. That's what I was getting ready to say. You know, if I believe, I've heard that Rife also said that sicknesses and illnesses could be created with frequencies, but they can also be healed with frequencies.
Right. I mean, I've got this, some stuff talking about when they first invented radar and started using radar, and it was right before World War II or right about World War II. And, you know, these guys that stood in front of it, not knowing how bad it was, they figured out real fast it could cause them health problems.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and
all those guys that worked on those radio installations on ships or on land or wherever, a vast majority of them came down with, all of a sudden, they all were starting to die of cancer and very weird cancers.
But anyway, they started playing a clip about right after the half-hour break, and it goes on into the next hour some. But it's very interesting, and you guys ought to try to listen to it because it was pretty wild. It's just, I have to listen to it again. He was putting out so much information, but it's really interesting. So, but
Hence, hey, Lynn, you know this. The Elon Musk Starlink satellites, you know, do you know how many, you know, most people don't understand, you know, when I had RT America, they would report on all these rockets going up, and it's deploying 58 satellites around the globe, you know, and these were going up like every couple of weeks. There are hundreds and thousands of those little frickin' satellites up there, and it's, in my opinion, it's not just for, you know, internet communicability, you know, you can get faster and faster IP service and all this stuff. What if all those little satellites can actually beam down upon the population of the world at this point in time?
Yeah, I don't really understand how something that far off can have that kind of an effect. Can I hold on?
Sure. Hang on a second. We'll be right back. If you're hanging in the weeds on the phone, we'll get you after the break. Republic of Texas Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Now in the home stretch, Republic of Texas Radio, Sherry in Kansas was on the phone or is on the phone with us right now. We're talking a little bit about frequencies and how they may or may not affect the world. And I want to throw this in before giving you the mic, really. Give me the microphone back. You know, back in the 1930s, there was a station. It was called WLW. It was based on the West Coast, or I'm sorry, the East Coast. And it was the most powerful radio station ever, right? Clocking in at 500,000 watts. This sucker could, like, pump out the radiation to the point that the stories that are out there, you could feel it in the air. Phil Collins might have wrote that song about WLW. You know, there's a story about a gas station that, you know, they couldn't turn off the lights because the power was so strong coming from their antenna that pumped out all this stuff. And how does that have an effect on the human body? And that's just a FM type transmission.
And Steve and Sherry, hang on real quick, Sherry. See, Steve, what you're talking about, a radio station, that's what's called a divergent beam. It goes out and it radiates and it spreads and it spreads and it spreads. See, this is what Tesla's true technology, you want to talk about Tesla, the howitzers and everything. And folks, this is what HARP was. It's called a phased array antenna system. You create beams of RF energy, and instead of being divergent, they're convergent. And they can pinpoint them at a particular point in space. They can bring different radio beams of different phases, slightly out of phase with each other, and they can bring them together at a particular point, and it creates much more energy than a divergent. Like you're talking about radio technology, Steve, like an FM or an AM radio antenna. It goes out and it spreads out everywhere, and it continues to spread. The further away from it you are, the weaker it is. Divergent radio beam, a phased array antenna system, can pinpoint a beam to a particular point in space. This is how these Starlink satellites, you can because you turn on your computer and you access that station, it will pick up and pinpoint and give you, you know, 10 million gigabits of energy, you know, of computing power at one particular point, because it locks on to your particular, because you've accessed it, and it locks on to it. You know, it's not a divergent beam. It doesn't just waste energy broadcasting everywhere. It broadcasts it to the point in space
that it controls the focus.
See, yes. I don't understand that. That I need a better word picture, because I read that stuff and it's like reading legal language to me. It just, you know. But yeah, I hear that stuff, and you know, some of the worst places for EMF are hospitals and schools, and particularly hospitals. And I'm sure the place where your mom's at is like that.
God, they're horrible. There's, you know, so much radiation.
It'd be interesting to take the right kind of reader in there where your mom's at, because where my dad was, and this was just an assisted care facility, and then another part, they had the Alzheimer's ring, but which was, you know, much more than that. But they had Wi-Fi. Now, why do you know, they don't seem to understand that, you know, these poor people have enough health problems. They don't need Wi-Fi. And their meters, each one of them had a separate meter, you know, electrical meter, and by that time they were the RFID meters, whatever. Yeah. Those, you know, and it's, I got some of those Stetzer filters and plugged them in my dad's room. But, you know, now, Alan, is the problem is that you do not have medical power of attorney that one of your other brothers does on your mother?
I was the one who had medical power of attorney until we got hospice involved, and then both of my brothers had medical power of attorney along with me. My older brother had financial power of attorney because he's got a computer and yada, yada, yada. But no, Sherry, I no longer
How can they ban you?
I no longer have any power of attorney. Although I'm the one who's been sitting here, although I was the one sitting here with her saying, oh my God, it hurts, make it stop. Oh my God, it hurts, oh my God, make it stop. They weren't there for that, so they just take her on a joyride out into the country. And I raked his ass up over one side of the coals and down the other. What? So you go out and you bring her out on a lark, and then she gets back to the nursing home, and I go over to see her, and she says, oh, I'm hurting again. I'm like, so I go out and I talk to the nurses. When was the last time my mom had pain medication? I was the one that's sitting there making sure that she had care, that she wasn't in pain, because these people are so overworked for one thing, and they can't get individually involved with people because they deal with death every day. They cannot get personally involved with most people. So their loved ones have to be the ones that come in and make sure they're actually being taken care of. And I've been basically kicked out of the system, Sherry.
They just voted you out? Is that the deal?
What?
Did they vote? The other two just voted that you can't come and see her anymore?
Two wolves and a chicken voting for what they're going to have for dinner. Yes, Sherry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that because I know you're close to your mother, and you know that's.
I'm the only one that has been close to my mother. When my father was dying miserably and humiliatingly of colon cancer, I was the only one that was living anywhere close that was going down and helping my mother out periodically. My brothers, they both lived in different states. I was the one who had to call him up and say, "If you want to see Dad before he draws his last breath, you better get your ass back down here right now." And one of them got there about 3 hours before my father died.
Well, so have they moved there? They're around there now?
No. Hell no.
Well, they can't keep you if you're the only one to see them. Anyway, we probably shouldn't talk about
it
over the air. Well, anyway, that thing about the because he actually mentioned that the people that got the shots, you know, and what was in the shot, it is interacting with them, especially if they have a smartphone. And he claimed that it was actually that they were actually mining them for electricity. And that was part of the thing with chronic fatigue, if I heard him correctly, that so many people are showing. But it's pretty wild, and you guys ought to listen to it.
Sherry, it's a perfect weapon. You know, there are United Nations treaties, which if you believe in those or not, that say you cannot experiment on people in other countries, but we can't stop you from experimenting on people in your own country. So guess what, folks? Our government considers us a cage full of lab mice.
Well, and he actually mentions this treaty that was all these countries signed in 94
right.
to reduce the population, and this is part of it.
Right.
Immunize
anyway.
Wisely. It's Saturdays. You can listen to it in the archives.
Wisely. And the first half hour, she talks about iodine, the importance of iodine, and then they start the clip when they come back from the first half hour break, and it goes on into the second hour. But it's really interesting. And this was Greg Reese's interviewing Todd Callender.
All right. Thanks, Sherry.
All right, thank
appreciate
you.
The call. All right. Jerry in Chicago. Welcome to the show. Did we lose him?
Oh, thanks a lot for taking my call. You know, you were on the subject of putting animals down earlier, just last weekend.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine, he's got a feral cat living on his farm, and I guess when he pulled up and parked his truck, you know, being nice and warm, the cat decided to jump up under the hood of the truck.
Yeah.
And then when he felt it was time to leave, he got in the truck and he drove it across the street to tell his wife, who was staining wood in his garage, which is across the street, that he'd be going back to the cottage to get dinner started, and he'll be back to feed the cats and everything like that. And this cat was pregnant. Well, he pulled up, and when he came out, he called for his wife right away, and he goes, look at this, all this blood. And they followed the blood trail, maybe 15, 20 feet. They found the cat, and somewhere between the cat and the van, they found a placenta with three kittens in there. So they opened it up, and they massaged the kittens and got them breathing and everything else like that. And they couldn't figure it out. And he went back later to the farm, and he looked at this on his video surveillance. And it did show that the cat did climb up under the hood of the truck, and he never seen it come back out because they're motion-activated cameras. And, because I mean, from the description he was telling me, I said, I thought a hawk got it. And that wasn't the case. But, I mean, as a last-ditch effort, the cat wasn't due to give birth until, like, the following day. And, yeah, they gave, I don't know if it was a survival instinct or a motherly survival instinct or an animal instinct, but give birth and hope something comes about and it helps you out. So I'm going to end up taking one of these kittens in about 7 weeks. Every 2 hours.
Well, that's a survivor, right? Wow.
Yeah. So and she's got three of them out of the four that survived. So I told her, I said, listen, I'll take one because I never had a kitten from birth, you know? So, and since it doesn't have a mother to take care of them, normally you're not supposed to take them for 10 weeks, but since it doesn't have a mother to show them the ropes, I got two other female cats that might step in and pretend to be the mother.
Let me tell you this little story. I came down from Arkansas one time, and I'm out here, and it was turkey season. My brother says, "Well, I saw a fox out in the daytime, you know." So my brother shot this fox, and you know, I was like, "Well, where'd you shoot it at?" And he told me where he was. So the next day, I go down by where my brother shot this fox out in the daytime. And he said she was covered in ticks and everything, didn't look real healthy. But, you know, what it ended up being was a mother fox having to go out and try to find food, you know, so she could feed her babies. I was down there, and I heard this squalling. So I go down, and there's this little thing rolling around outside of it, you know, a little rock hole in the rocks, you know. And so I pick it up, you know, and it had blowfly eggs on it already. I took it back, you know, clipped the hair off to make sure that the blowflies hadn't already got into it. And lo and behold, that was my little pet fox, Rommel. You know, his eyes didn't open up for 5 days. I bottle fed him. I went back and got some formula and bottle fed him. And I had this little fox for 8.5 years. What was the most interesting, the neatest pet that I've ever had. He never knew if he was a human or a dog or a fox. And he lived my life along with my dog. And, you know, I've done this before, you know, and it's just... You know, part of the cruelty and the salvation of nature, you know. I took this little fox and raised him up, you know. I was his mother and his family, and he was a great pet. I mean, he made me laugh. I couldn't tell you how many times. He was just funnier than hell. And all my neighbors knew him. You know, he'd run around the neighborhood. You know, he'd be in my neighbor's garage. If they left the garage open, I went over and told him. I said, "Hey, you know, if you see a fox in your garage, that's my pet. He's not here. He's not doing anything any harm. Just shoo him out." And no, you know, that's just parts of life that I've lived. Oh.
Thanks, Jerry. You know, I really appreciate. I thought we were going more brutal. At least there's a hope there in that story. Got anything else?
No, that's it. This is going to be my third cat in 14 years now. So, and I have one that's 22 and a half years old now. The other one's going to be 5. So,
wow.
They are like family to me, you know. It's going to be rough to put them in the older one. And the older one is just a happy-go-lucky cat. All you got to do is be in the same room with her, and she just starts purring.
Yep.
So, well, guys, get on to the next caller, and happy birthday to Chance. and you guys have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks for calling in there, Jerry. You know, appreciate it. Okay. Well, looks like we got one last caller. You got anything to add on to that, or do you want to go to the call?
No, we're getting close to the end. Let's bring the next caller on.
Mr. Dave, Dave and the Thumb.
I-9.
Katmandu. How you doing, guys?
Oh, my God.
Hey, happy birthday to Chance. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, happy birthday to Chance and his almost pet raccoon. He didn't kill that cat, that raccoon. He just, he gave him he made him born again. So he went to a better place. Anyway, a lot of topics. The eclipse is kind of, interesting with how many Ninevehs it's going over, from continent to continent, like there's like 19 Ninevehs, and it's like, I wonder if Jonah's going to be in each one of those Ninevehs when that four-minute event passes over.
There was a Salem, too, right?
Yeah, that was the last one. In 2017, I think, it went through about six cities named Salem, I don't know. Anyway, it sure seems like the perfect hype for dumbasses, the GDP that will fall for this. The power's going to go out. We're going to, the grid's going down. You got to get money out of the bank. And, they're actually telling people to get 2 weeks worth of food. You better have cash and all this stuff. They're closing the schools. Oh. Cats and dogs are going to live together. It's like, what the heck is going on? Is this their opportunity to shut down the banking system? And, we got all these hundreds of thousands of people driving all over the world to go see a four-minute event that you can't look at unless you got these special glasses because you're going to go blind. What's the science that says if you look at the eclipse, you're going to go blind? I don't get that. You guys know what that science is?
Especially looking at the eclipse with these little plastic glasses. It's kind of like 3D glasses you used to watch a movie with.
Right.
The last one, which was just a few months ago, actually, 6 months ago or something like that?
I think on October.
They called it an annular eclipse. I was outside. I actually watched it, but guess what? I had my welding mask on,
right.
So I was pretty safe.
I don't know what the science actually is. I do know that I remember the first friend of mine that went temporarily blind watching another friend of mine welding on the stock car. And I know that extreme light can have damage, and then that's firsthand experience, right?
Sure.
Of a dumbass staring at the thing, and then my friend that's welding turning around and going, "Are you watching me?" He says, "Yeah, I can see." And he says, "Oh, get away." And then the next day we were visiting him at his house with the bandage over his eye, hoping that he was going to be able to see when that was all done. So I don't know, but how many people are going to go blind because they've got these glasses
work? The ultraviolet radiation that comes off of it. If you stare at the sun, you're going to go blind. If you stare at an eclipse without the right, material, you're going to go blind. It's as simple as this. Even using a cutting torch and thinking that you can just wear your sunglasses, they make everything darker, and it's not welding or anything. I've used a cutting torch a few times with just my sunglasses on, and, man, you're talking about getting one hellacious headache,
You're right.
Anyhow.
Oh, I don't
know.
Okay,
new topic. You talked about the fox and the hound there, Alan. A good buddy of mine told me, and it made perfect sense that a fox is actually a cross between a canine and a feline.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Much. Pretty
neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My little fox that I had was probably one of the joys that I've ever had in my life. He was so funny. He would come and go. He could hop the fence, but yet if I was outside, I could go up and call him up, and he'd come running and he'd jump over the fence if you heard me calling him, It was like a cross between a cat and a dog, yes.
Yep, pretty neat. Anyway, you know, I'm not sure the total story of your mother. I've heard you talk about her, you know, over the years. And, you know, hospice, their main goal is to kill you by dehydrating you. There's a great book out there. It's called The Many Cries for I'm going to paraphrase. It's something like the body's many cries for water or something like that. So yeah. I don't know how long your mom's been, you know, in this pain, and I know she was jabbed, and I know all that background stuff. I don't know all the details, but we had a lady that was our dental hygienist, retired. She took her mother out of the frickin' nursing home because they weren't going to let her see her, you know, during COVID, and she kept her alive to her 100th birthday at home. She was giving her Doc Wallach got this product called Ultimate Classic. It's a multiple liquid vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and stuff. Right. And she would put it in a syringe and squirt it in her mother's life. And her mother, I mean, she basically came back to life. She was helping her take care of her, but still dying because she couldn't give her enough of what she really needed. But she was 98 years old. She kept her alive through her 100th birthday before she finally passed. And she passed in her sleep. She wasn't in that horrible pain, and she wasn't dehydrating her, you know, like the hospice. That's their goal, and they're evil. And I'm sorry for your frickin' torrent. You know, this is horrible what family does to family, because we know you got most of the answers. And those dumbasses, they, you know, what? It's sickening. It's sickening. And I feel for you, brother.
It is, my friend. It's very disheartening. And I know I'm not the only one that's going through this and has gone through it. And to tell you the truth, most of the hospice people that I've met, because I do have some kind of knowledge, I've actually sat there and talked with them, and the ladies that I've met with hospice, most of them have seemed fairly decent.
They're very good people.
Yeah,
but they just follow orders. They just follow orders. They don't know what they don't know, and they're there to kill those people that go into. I know a guy that was in hospice for over 6 years. He left. He came back home and lived by himself and for 6 years on longevity, but the guy still smoked. He had oxygen, you know, in his nose, and we'd be sitting there with him. He was sitting in a wheelchair because it's easier to get around. He could walk, but he was in a wheelchair. He'd be at the computer, and he'd light up a cigarette, and we're like, what? You got oxygen? Oh, it's very little, you know, the ratios, blah, blah, blah. And he would puff on that cigarette, and there'd be little puffs of little bangs, you know. And we're like, wow. He's like, oh, I know my limit. I'm not going to blow up, you know.
I know my limit. Thanks, Dave.
Anyway, thanks, guys. Happy eclipse.
All right, Red Pill Politics coming up next. Listen to Dave. I know I will be. Take care, folks.
Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.